Thank you, thank you. Oh, stop it. I'm back! After a very casual 5 month hiatus, season two is here and I could not be more excited. Gosh, I hope you're all good. I've missed doing this podcast so much, but I just had such pandemic brain fog. Do you know what I mean? Like, I had no idea what was going on half the time, but I've sorted my life out. Well, you know, as much as you can at 24. And I've moved to London. I'm now in the big smoke. Started a brand new chapter. And I've just got so many ideas and people I want to speak to. So get ready, pour yourself a glass of vino with me and let's navigate Route 20-something together once again. A huge thank you to BBC Radio Manchester and BBC Radio Lancashire for playing bits of season one, and a huge thank you to my dear friend Lewis Wilcock for producing the soundtrack, and of course thank you guys for listening from 38 countries. What the fuck. Okay, so without further rambling, let's crack on with season two. Hello my fellow confused and probably hungover 20 somethings, and welcome back to Navigating Your 20s, a podcast pointing you in the wrong direction with me, Kate Whittaker. Time for more drunken chats on the mishaps and mind boggles of adulthood. From the time you left your passport in a toilet in Prague to the time you got fired twice. So grab a beer, even if it's 10 a.m, and let's roll the titles. Today I am so excited to be joined by Jessica Smith. Jess is the writer of Your 20s, a podcast host of Career Coaching with Jessness, a career coach and a public speaker based in Modesto, California. She's an explorer of life and sees it as one big experiment to learn and grow. Jess believes the main ingredient we need to cultivate is a connection to our ness, and that we're not here to figure out what to do, but rather who we are. I could not think of a better way to kick off season two than a chat with Jess all about everything we've learned in our 20s. And oh, spoiler, it's a flipping good chat. Okay, so all the way from California, it's Jess.
Hi, season two. Congrats. This is big stuff. This is awesome.
Thank you so much. And thank you for taking the time to, chat to me today. How have you been?
Yeah, how have I been? It's like a $1 million question, I think, nowadays. And it's layered, I think, with a lot of different things that we all have going on. You know, when that question comes to mind, I'm like, okay, how am I today? How do I feel mentally? How is my body feeling? It's definitely more layered. And I think that's something that I've had to learn and tap into over the last year, because God, you're really stuck with yourself a lot of the time. And so it's like this natural inward self-discovery that's happened. And so, you know, tapping into my senses, my surroundings, my physical body. And today I'm feeling not bad. Today, not bad.
A belated congratulations on the release of your novel. It's doing so well and it's got readership across the globe, because obviously everyone relates to this very freaking crazy time. So let's just talk about the book, first of all, and the book Your 20s. It's out on Amazon now. I'll put a link in the podcast description. Mm-hmm. But what kind of provoked you to write this book? Where did the idea kind of come from? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, you know, the book has really taken on a life of its own. And it really has its own little soul. It's got its own personality, and I think it's taken off because it touches on a lot of the areas of life that the most change and transition comes through. And so you ask me, like, was there a moment? And there were a lot of moments where I was just like, what the hell? Like, this wasn't taught in school. where was the curriculum on this? So there was those funny moments with my friends, like, damn, this isn't, this wasn't covered. But there was this one particular moment, and it was late night in Chico. I went to Chico State, a Northern California school. And, after the bars, you go to someone's house and it's like, all right, let's throw on some hats and let's listen to music and just hang out. And I was just like, man, there should be a manual for this. And then I think that one moment, I think, was like the initial seed. And I was right around 22. And so fast forward, after university, I lived in New Zealand for a bit. And then it really started like blooming there where I'm like, okay, I think I have something to say about this. I may have enough content. But then there was like a year of like, what the hell do I know? Who am I to like write something? And then that kind of passed. And the idea, like, I think anyone that's had a creative endeavor can relate to that moment of like, it just keeps tapping on the shoulder. It's like that little whisper, like, maybe you should try it. Maybe you should, and you're just like, okay, go away. But then it stays. So when I fast forward, I came back to the US. I was like, okay, let me look into seeing if there's other books out there written for your 20s. And there were a few, but it was all around things I would tell my 20-something self from the perspective of someone in, you know, their 70s or whatever. And I'm like, well, I would hope you'd have some reflection on that, but wouldn't really resonate with my friends. So I'm like, what would my friends buy? You know, like what would be a cool thing that would talk about it in the same kind of lingo that we're talking about it and not downgrading or, you know, making us feel belittled about it or these are what you should be doing. Like, enough with the shoulds. Let's stop shoulding on ourselves, please. But, you know, it's like looking out, there wasn't any book written by people in their 20s for people in their 20s. And so I saw it as a really big opportunity.
Everyone after they graduate, and you've talked about this yourself, has that, oh crap, now what moment? What did that moment feel like for you? And was that a big part later down the line of you going, fuck, I need to write this down in a book?
Yes, 100,000%. And I describe it, this is a moment I've thought about like over and over and over, and it's to describe it. And the best description I've been able to align with is you're in the spaceship, you're in that incubator of school where every single year you have a syllabus and it's like, cool, that's a curriculum, that's what I'm gonna be learning. And you just kind of, you do it because that's what you do it and there's the plan and you get grades and there's this kind of, there's a comfort somewhat in there is a plan, you know, and there is this kind of, you didn't have to do it, which is a whole other topic, right? But, you know, it's like you graduate either from high school or university and you get ejected from the mothership and you're kind of floating and in outer space and you're just kind of like, whoa, where's the gravity? Like, can someone please pull me in? And now you're in this stage where you get to create, let's just continue with this weird analogy, you get to create your spaceship, you know, like you get to now decide what goes in it, where you go and how you spend your time, money, energy. Like it's freeing. And it's also this feeling of maybe like where's the footing, you know, there's an ungroundingness to it because of all of the things coming from different directions, asking you to make a decision for the first time ever. I definitely had this urge to go somewhere new physically too. And when I was in university, I really wanted to go abroad. But if you're involved in different sports or clubs and different things, you can't always go. And it's also, you know, a financial cost too. And so part of my university like requirement was to do an internship. Everyone had to do one. And so I thought, well, I'm going to do one in New Zealand, and got it approved and went through a year basically of confirming that internship because they didn't have a lot of internships over there. So I was really selling in the idea of what it was, what I needed from them, like in terms of grades and all of that. So I went over because there was an opportunity to finish school and, you know, just try something different physically away. And looking back, I didn't know at the time, but that physical distance of being away from family and friends really made me have to start trusting my inner voice of wisdom. And in the book, I call it your Ness. And that's why I go by Jessness, because everyone can add Ness to the back of your name. And it's this fun vocab word, right? So like your Kateness, like where are you going? What are you doing when you're in alignment with your Kateness, that inner voice of wisdom that only you have? And so that developed because I was 12 hours difference and I couldn't check in for validation and external, all this stuff that kind of made up the foundation of how I would go about making decisions and things. It was a good, that space helped with that. That was one of the biggest shifts in my 20s was shifting this idea that I am not what I do. That is what I do. Yeah. Like the podcasts, the writing, the books, or on a smaller scale, gardening, right? Or painting, or these are things that I do. They're not who I am. So your nest is the embodiment of your soul. It's that essence, you know, it's like that truest expression of you. And it sometimes is bogged down over the years because of societal programming, what our parents want us to do, what our friends are doing, what's cool, what we see in TV, social media, all of these aspects form if we're not constantly cultivating a connection with that inner voice of wisdom. I believe in your 20s, you can really get knocked around with and choose things that by the end of it, you go, I don't know if that's in alignment. And here's the best part. You get to change your mind. Like you get to then pivot because you make the syllabus. Like you're writing the syllabus for your life.
Something I think I'll have definitely learned. It's just, oh, who cares? Like there's so much more to life than what we do. You know, it's who we are, who we surround ourselves with, you know, like the experiences, I guess, rather than what we do as a job or whatever.
Yeah. And that's why I like looking at life as one big life experiment, especially in your 20s, because it's a lot more fun if you look at it that way. It's like, okay, next experiment. Mm-hmm. All right, what tools do I have? What methodology am I going to approach here? And it may be different. Yeah. Try on different suits. Try on different hats. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, what you have available to you every single year is going to change. And I reckon, like, if you make it a priority to have some sort of practice, because some people are probably like, okay, cultivate a connection with my inner voice of wisdom. What the hell does that mean? And it means using every single opportunity that comes through as an opportunity to better get to know yourself, to have somewhat of an inward approach too, and make sure that that balance of external validation or external just seeking is also, you have the same amount of curiosity to do that seeking within, because you're going to find, oh, it's going to be less overwhelming because you're going to go, oh, I know that that's not really in alignment with me, so I can say no to that. Okay. Mm. And you'll find the more you follow that inner voice of wisdom, the more in alignment, the more fulfillment you'll find, because that was the last thing I'll say about it too, is you'll find that sometimes what comes up or bubbles up in there isn't what you would think. You know, it's like, well, wait a second. This all makes sense. I'm going here. I went to MID. I'm going to do this. My dad says this is good. It's like, whoa, you know, hello. It's kind of like, but then this inner voice is like, go to art school, you know, like the whisper's going to get louder later in life. Just trust. It's a trust, cultivation of trust of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that so much. Do you think that this kind of voice of wisdom comes from a strong sense of like knowing who you are?
I think it's related. It's related because who I thought I was at 20 and who I know myself to be now is so different. And the adjectives and how I would describe myself and who I would say I am, the words that I would use to describe who I was at 20 is so different from now. Like at 20, it would sound like this. I'm the oldest of four girls. I went to Chico State. I work in tech. I'm a podcaster. I'm going to write a book. And when I'm not working, you can find me learning about this, this, and this. It's like, okay, so we know what she does. At 32, it would sound something like, I'm a vivaciously curious human being that fucks up a lot, but is committed to continuing to explore life, and exploring life through an authentic connection to what's good for me and my soul, regardless of what may be good for other people. Like, you know, it's just a difference of, how you go about seeing yourself. And it's again, kind of shifting back to, you know, this idea of we're not what we do, we're who we are.
Yeah.
And what is that? Like, and we can explore who we are through what we do. Like, one of the ways that I like describing to my career coaching clients is, what are you doing when time is just flying? Like, what are you doing? What advice are people coming and asking you for? And really sitting with those, and not just kind of, oh, I'm going to write out these questions and answer them, but living it. Use asking yourself that question, like, what advice are people asking me for? Okay, here's my life experiment. And then observing, being present in your body, and then just being aware. You will notice way more because you're living it than if you were to just be super heady about it and go, people come to me for advice. Well, you know, just going about it that way.
Yeah. That is so interesting. The things that you think, oh, I don't know about that. Like, I'm too scared to do that. Just do it. You know, like, if you have something in your life that makes you really happy and you get a lot of fulfillment from it, you know, it doesn't matter how good you think you are at it. Just, you know, just literally do it. I don't think you ever really feel 100% ready for anything in life. And that's what I've definitely learned.
Ready doesn't exist. And if you wait till you're ready, you're going to be so bored when you do it. It's like, it's already phased out. Like, it's not even of interest. But here's a fun thing. And you could do this with your friends. Take should out of your vocabulary and see and really notice how many times you say it. Because it's, once I started really noticing, I'm like, oh, I should go to here. I should go here. I should call mom. I should do this. I should, you know, it's like, wait, why? Who are making these rules? Where are these rules coming from? Are they, they're not mine. Who is they? You know, it's just really, it's that like not being afraid to approach your 20s with curiosity and inquiry. That is the biggest, like, curiosity, like, huh. But then inquiry, could this be, like, why, how did I get here? Is this my belief? Is this my programming? Is this, you know, and just, you'll start to clear out, like, what's yours and what's everyone else's and what's the media. And trust me, you are carrying stuff that is not yours. It's all about that inquiry. Is this mine? Where did this come from? How did I get here? And that's the biggest rebel 20-something thing you can do, because you're checking in with yourself.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. I so agree with that. Like, I've just moved to London and I had a thought the other day and I was like, I just really want to join a girls' football team. And I used to hate football at school. I'd be like, oh, I'm not playing football. And now I'm like, oh man, I think I'd be sick on, you know, South London football girls' team. I don't know where this has come from, but I'm going to go with it. It's just that idea of going, I'm going to try that because
go for it.
Literally, why the hell not, you know?
Move towards the fun.
Has there been any experiences you've had in your 20s where you've gone into it completely just like, I'm going to try and see what happens here, and it's been one of the sort of best experiences you've ever had?
So many. I spent majority of like I'm 32 now. I don't have any kids. I just have a puppy. But, you know, in my 20s, one of the huge benefits, like, was I didn't have kids and I didn't have a puppy, right? So I had all of this, like, all of the extra money in my career went to, I was really interested in different self-discovery trainings. And so there's been a lot, like, I went to a self-love revolution retreat in Asheville, North Carolina, with a bunch of people I had no idea who they were. I roomed with someone, like a 40-year-old mom. I roomed with her. So it's like lots of, I've said yes to a lot of things that just, because they always led me to a connection with a person or the next book that then led me to, oh, like someone suggested a podcast that then that person comes up again. Like, it's this like awareness, right? That it's like, well, it's the third time I've heard that suggestion. It's like, newsflash, do it. There's been cool moments like I moved to this town. I started going to this yoga studio, met this woman who was a yoga teacher. And I had this belief at the time that if you were a yoga teacher, you couldn't work in corporate like that. Those two things, like, oh, it's just not the same person. I find out she's worked in corporate for 25 years. Her and I have the same birthday. And her and I become really good friends, and she becomes a mentor of me. And so then fast forward 3 years, she's putting on this trip to Peru, which was in 2019. She invites me. I go. We have a whole spiritual journey there. I mean, it's just because of one tiny decision, just to like, I'm going to just try this new yoga studio. Like, and it's like, that's the synchronicity, the fun piece of life. Cause you can look back and go, oh dang, all those little things brought me to this moment.
Yeah. Oh, so true. I met a yoga teacher as well. and it was in a hostel, and yeah, and me and my friend turned up. We were just about to go teaching abroad, and we thought we'd do a bit of traveling beforehand. We went in there, and there was this woman, and she was just a beautiful woman, and she had a yoga studio in I think I'm gonna say Sri Lanka. And she honestly, oh, wow. She was just, you know when someone just radiates like positivity and like all these stories, and at the end she like, yes, gave me a ring, and I still got the ring, and it's just little things like that.
Oh my goodness.
I have the ring. But you know, you never know like who you're going to meet, and every single person is so interesting. Like just last night I was at a bar in South London, and the waiter was an absolute legend, and we got chatting to him, we really bonded, and it turns out he obviously worked in this bar, but he was also in Swan Lake as a dancer. And we were like, oh, go on, give us a spin. And he just got on one of the tables and gave us like a full on pirouette. And we were like, oh my God. Like, but you know, you just meet people all the time.
That is cool. You never know. Interesting stories, and with that one person, right? She has a whole network of people that I've been able to meet and get to know. And we traveled in Peru, and that was that was a whole cool thing. And it's just, I don't know. I just go for it. Just go for it. Get out there and go.
Yeah. I love,
sound like a soccer coach now.
Yeah, soccer mom.
Do the drills, right.
No, for sure. And so taking it back to kind of your ness and finding out who you are, how do you even go about that? Like, how do you find out who you are? Because it's such a vague, kind of broad, extensive question to kind of ask yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think in your 20s, mm-hmm, I don't know about you, but who I am is constantly changing from like my fashion sense to like the way I want my hair to like the way I talk. Like it changes all the time. Every single age of my 20s, I'm like, oh, I was so young at 23, you know, and you constantly, looking back and going, oh, I'm so different now.
Right. Yes. And isn't that funny? Like progress isn't something you feel until you kind of look back and you're like, oh, damn, like I really dress differently. And I like to think of it like your soul, your ness is trying on different things and seeing how they feel. The only way that you're going to get to know yourself is through experience, is through life. We've been given this playground of opportunities to try on different ways of presenting ourselves, different ways of talking, music, in like igniting our senses in different ways, like looking to nature. I mean, it's a tough question because, you know, you can't read it in a book. No one's going to tell you who you are. And so when we go outside and we're like, 10 ways to find who I am, sure, we can have an idea. Like in my book, I over and over and over, it's emphasized that doing different ways of checking in. And so through the five different sections, for instance, in career, the ways to ignite your nest are going to look different because you've got this whole environment of working for your soul to play around, to go out and explore and try on, where am I going to fit in? Where am I best going to feel comfortable? Where's time flying? And then we've got healthy mind. Okay, what's going to be most beneficial for me? Healthy mind for me may be listening to rock metal. For someone else, it may be like, I've got to be near moving water. You know, it's like, that's the idea. Like it's you get to, again, have this empty notebook where you get to write the curriculum and dream up and think, who gets to be involved? Who am I going to invite in? What life experiments am I trying on right now? And through those experiments in all the different environments, whether it be self-love, the career, or the even body acceptance, right? All the chapters, in my book, at the end, there's activities. It's like, your turn. Let's explore for you. Try it on. Like, these are some different ways. It's really just, that's why I love the analogy of just a life experiment, because everyone's got a different experiment at hand. And that's also what makes it fun.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I agree. I think as well, a big part of finding out who you are is just to love yourself fully, completely, for, you know, all of your imperfections and incompleteness, I guess, because we are all kind of work in progress, just bobbing along. And I think just a little thing I now appreciate because of the pandemic is how much I took my body for granted before. You know, I've always been very healthy. I never really had anything wrong with me, to be honest. And I never really understood how amazing that was, you know. And I've been so bad to my body with alcohol, late nights, and just saying yes to everything and being super busy and not, you know, eating super healthy all the time. And after, you know, surviving a global pandemic, you sort of think, oh my God, my body is pretty incredible when you take it back to the basics. And that has just unlocked a whole new level of self-love for me, I think, and just appreciation of, yeah, my actual being, I guess.
Yes. I love that. I think that's awesome. And there's a whole chapter in the book that describes burnout, physical burnout of, there was a point I was working at a recruitment agency, and it's like, if you work in recruiting, it's just like, everyone needs to be hired yesterday. And it's like, it's just go, go. It's just insane. Mm-hmm. And at the time, it was like my fifth year of recruiting. My body was like, we're shutting down. I was eating a ton of McDonald's. I was driving all around, visiting all of my sales, you know, my sales offices and different stuff, and taking it for granted, drinking a ton of coffee, going out with my coworkers after, eating out, drinking, you know, a ton of beer and stuff. And then middle of the night, super dehydrated, woke up and went downstairs to get water. And I passed out on the tile right in front, the tile. And I had a black eye. And I was just like, at what expense? You know, what is this for? It's one of those inquiries. It's really important, right? Like, who is making me work to this extreme? It was I was putting it on myself, and I wasn't asking for what I needed. And then therefore our bodies will shut us down if we're not careful, right? If we're not like paying attention and we don't want to get to that point. So it's like, I love that you had this opportunity of like, with the world slowing down, you also got a chance to go. And I don't know about you. Something I've noticed with that is just after kind of going the world slowing down and having more time to check in, I kind of realized I don't have as much energy as I thought I did. And so I actually can't do everything that I even like was doing before, like physically. Yeah. It's like I was pushing it.
Yeah, it's so true. Now I say no to things, which I never did before. Even if I was shattered, I'm like, yeah, I'll be there. And now I'm like, do you know what? I just don't really feel like it tonight. And that is self-improvement for me.
Yes. And the first time you did it, were you afraid like, oh God, like their head's going to pop off or something's going
to
happen?
I was like, this isn't me. But then I was like, do you know what? It feels good to go, nah, not tonight, guys. Maybe another night. And then I just watched Netflix and had a great time. But that is just, another.
There you go.
Acknowledging that, do you know what? I need to rest. I'm going to have a shower. I'm going to make a good meal. And that is my night. That is good.
Yeah. Parenting yourself. You are parenting yourself. Like that, like, I don't know if you've heard that term, like reparenting yourself and different things, but I love, you know, that is taking good care of yourself. And it's like the energy you had the next day, I'm sure, was through the roof. My question, I'm curious, when you say no, do you explain why, or do you just say, nah, not tonight?
I do. Yeah. I feel like I have to. I never
So that's the next step.
I always go, I've had a really busy day, and I always feel like I have to justify it of like at least 7 different reasons.
Exactly.
Or pretend I'm ill or something really dramatic. Whereas now, I am, because I promise you now I'll just go, nah. See ya. So we're halfway through the episode, and that means it's time for a brand new feature. This is Anonymous Confessions of a 20-something. Ooh. So I asked y'all on Insta. Y'all, why am I saying y'all? I'm trying to be seductive. I don't know how you do this, like, the seductive. I'm tripping over my words. I'm getting nervous. Oh my god, right, no. I'm too dorky for this, like, seductiveness. I asked you all on Instagram. Oh Christ. I asked you all on Instagram what the most outrageous thing you've ever done is, and oh my days, did you deliver? I'm just going to read them out. I don't really know what the format is here. We're just going to go for it. I feel like I really set the bar high with that seductive theme music and it's just me going high. Okay, number one. Music, please. Thanks. I went to Australia for a holiday and ran away with a cowboy. I stayed there for 15 months. I once accidentally broke into someone's flat and peed on the floor. I was too scared to break up with my boyfriend, so I accidentally left my diary open, which read, I don't like him anymore. He dumped me the next day. I once slept with a girl, only to walk downstairs in the morning and see a photo of her children in the Christmas panto. I once met Jamie T in a pub in London. I had no idea it was him until the barmaid told me after. They say don't meet your heroes, but all I'd say is try and recognise them. My boyfriend and I got matching nipple piercings, but then got stuck to one another in bed. I once got with 5 different people at New Year's and ended up in club photos with all of them. I had sex on my boss's desk. Safe to say I failed probation. Oh, they're a bit juicy and scandalous, aren't they? Absolutely love those. Thank you so much for sending those in. Keep an eye on the Instagram page at Navigating Your 20s Podcast for the next topic for the next episode. To celebrate the release of season 2, my beautiful episode 1 guest, Jess Smith, is giving away 1 copy of her book, Your 20s, and 3 Your 20s journals. There's 4 winners! How exciting! So you're notified when the giveaway goes live. Make sure you're following at Navigating Your 20s Podcast on Instagram. It'll be announced very soon. This idea of kind of self-love and loving ourselves for who we are also relates to falling in love in your 20s and, you know, allowing someone else in your life. You can't really do that without, I guess, having a strong sense of your own worth and who you are and what you're about, I guess. Have you found that with this crazy thing called love?
Oh, this crazy thing. I absolutely... Absolutely. And I think, I don't know if you're into astrology or anything, but I have a lot of planets in my 7th house of long-term committed relationships. So that can mean family, love relationships, friendships, like anything long-term. And so my 20s, like my Saturn return was going over that portion of my life. So I learned through relationship a lot. And it was very much, I think I was looking to check boxes with my relationships in my early 20s because I'm like, well, this is what you do. Like, gotta hurry, gotta hustle. You know, I graduated, gotta get a job, gotta get the house and gotta, you know, do all this stuff. And, you know, in my right around all of it, right? Like right around 29, all of that went away because huge breakup. All of that went away. And it was like, wait a second. Like literally at 20, when the book went live, I was 29. It went live in February. 4 months later, I had moved in with my sister, had broken up with my, you know, boyfriend. All everything was different. And I was like, wait a second. I did all the things and it's, I did, but like,
yeah,
huge, just real rug pulled out from under you kind of moment. And then in this last 2 years, it's really been a rebuilding of, again, oh, thank God that didn't work out. None of that was what I wanted. Yes. You know what I mean?
I think rejection is literally just redirection, isn't it? And that's
something I love that.
With love and all that jazz is, it's not enough. I used to just think like, so if we have all these things in common, like art and yoga and music and traveling, then that's it. We're compatible. And that is end of good stuff. But actually, like, you could be with someone that you have completely different interests to and different backgrounds and different careers and all sorts, but if you're compatible in the sense that you know, the way you handle things like vulnerability and confrontation and all these deeper underlying things, then that's probably better than just going, oh my God, we both like art, you know, like that's not. And I've realized that quite recently, actually, of my most recent breakup. It's not enough just to go, oh, we both like this cool thing. Yay. You know, there's so much more.
Well, like you bring up a good point. Doesn't it go back to what we were talking about in the beginning around that's what we do. That isn't who we are. So same thing with the other person. Okay, so we both like art. Okay. Yeah, we can do art together. But how do we handle, like you said so beautifully, vulnerability? And when the other person's losing their shit, how does the other person handle it? And then what happens when something horrible in the life happens? Like it's almost the essence of the person, like the communication style. I don't have the words exactly for it, but yeah, like shifting the focus. It's like what they're bringing to the table in like more of their nests, looking for those nest qualities. That those are the inner part, right? Those aren't going to change. Wow. That just had an aha moment for me too.
Oh my God. I'm learning. That is such a good point. That's given me so much clarity. And I think it's the same with friendships as well, I guess. You know, you kind of, you and your friends will always have mutual interests, and like you might have met doing like a cool stand-up art night or, you know, something random, and you might always have that thing in common, but you change over the years. And I think that's, you know, why we kind of grow apart from friends or get closer to different friends at different stages of our lives. And I think there's a psychologist or something or other that said you can only have 12 really, really close friends at any time. And I was like, God, that's why I'm always so stressed about friendships, because I'm always trying to juggle all these groups and being best friends with like 80 people, which is just, it's just not, it's not sustainable really. I think it kind of, this idea of self-love and, you know, progressing with another person definitely comes into friendships as well, because we're constantly changing. And I think some of my best friends have remained my best friends because you kind of accept that the next time you see them, they'll have a completely different hair color, and they might talk a different way, and they might, you know, act a different way. And you've got to kind of go, yeah, okay, you've changed, that's okay. Rather than this kind of, oh, you've changed, what's this about?
Totally. Well, it's this focus, I think, of, I've always been kind of lots of friend groups. Like in university, I was in a sorority. So I had that. It wasn't super strict. Like the university wasn't like sorority, like the fraternity people only hang out with them. It was very loosey goosey, like very, everyone was friends. So, you know, and then I had friends in the rugby, team, and then like my major. And so a bunch of different friends. And I think that kind of comes from like growing up. You know, I have three younger sisters, and we were always going to, like hop in the Suburban, like let's go everywhere. Had a bunch of different like activities and stuff. So I was used to having a lot of different friends and groups and things. But I think what's shifted is like the stress I felt from having to, you know, hoard 80 friends, you know, keep in touch with all of them. It's this focus from like quantity to quality.
Yes, very true.
Like, wow. And it's like, think about how we interact with anything on TV now. It's like we all vote, you know, it's like for Dancing with the Stars, and like there's voting on social media, there's followers, there's likes, there's, we gather numbers, and like, we're like quantity, more. And it's like, what the hell, where's the quality? So it's like, whether that shift is happening suddenly, maybe it's happened pretty suddenly because of the pandemic, and you're not running into the same people you always did. And some people may have just fallen right off, and that's okay. Like, that's all right. Like if they're going to come back around, they will. But maybe it's because you were interested in knitting and now you don't knit, and there's, you know, and that's the what and not the who, you know? So it's just, you're going to go through phases, I think, but I definitely went through phases. But in terms of day to day, we only have so much energy, you know, and the quality of connection and authenticity is so much more fulfilling than having a bunch of different inauthentic connections with 80 people, you know. You kind of have to date people. Like, not date them, but like you have to make effort. You have to invite them somewhere. You have to like follow up. Like I made a lot of friends through work. And I think that's pretty natural. Like in New Zealand, a lot of my work friends were my close friends because you spend a lot of time there. But I always just ask myself, and maybe because once, I don't know, I'm trying to think back to like that shocker of like, okay, you move and all your friends, it's a little bit disorienting because you're like, wait, I can't walk to like the bagel hut. What's going on? So there's that little like shocker happening. But I don't know. I think just asking yourself, like, do I actually want to hang out with this person?
What about kind of heartbreak then, just to strip it all back, whether it's a friend breakup, a relationship breakup, failing at something?
Yeah, after when I was 27, that one was probably, or like 29-ish was, or let's see, 27 to 29 was the relationship. 29 is when it ended. And that was, I said a little bit about it, but just the rug pulled out from under me moment. Mm-hmm. And at the time, my sister was actually living in the same town on a month-to-month lease, which was wonderful. And so I was able to move in with her. And I was just a wreck. I just didn't see it coming. And that's the part that I was like, oh my gosh, I just felt embarrassed. And I felt like I was so sure. And that made me feel embarrassed, like internally too. Like, oh, I was so confident. Like, how could you be so confident? How could you get comfortable? Like all of those kinds of moments. But it was a total redirection. And something that I went on probably a year and a half journey of self-exploration. I'm pretty sure that's going to be book two.
Yes, I'm here for it.
So there's that. But yeah. It was really tough, really tough. And I went through a lot of phases of like a distraction phase of where I was like, I just don't want to deal with it, to then refocusing my energy. One of the biggest things that helped actually was I was so stuck in my head worrying about the future and tripping about the past because I was like, oh, the plan, it's gone. Like I was so hooked on this idea, and just so I almost couldn't get that out of my mind. And so I'm like, I need to do something that scares me. I need to do something that gets me out of my head and into my body. And so I signed up for improv and that was hella fun. And it was super great because it forced me to play. It forced me to have fun and it forced me to get out of my head and into my body. So that was really, really fun. And that really sparked I felt slightly, just a tiny head shift with that, just a tiny shift, which then led to the next decision. And then booked a trip just for myself and went to, it's kind of scary actually. It was like in the middle of the woods, like the Santa Cruz Mountain woods with all the redwoods.
I've been there.
You have? Doesn't it smell so good?
Yeah, it smells great.
Yes. Those are so healing on themselves. And they all have this underground connection of like communication. I mean, trees are cool, but so, you know, did a lot of different self-exploration things and got to know myself. I would just say to anyone going through a hard time, like time, this is going to be so annoying, but like time will heal it.
It's true.
You have to be patient. Part of this lesson is patience and trusting that you will recover and bounce back because you're hell of a lot more resilient than you think.
It's so true. I think a lot of people will appreciate that advice because I know a lot of people going through a breakup at the minute. After the pandemic, everyone's just going to be so keen to meet people and talk. You know, every time I've been out in London at the minute, everyone is so much more friendly.
Yeah. And that, once I started dating again, that was a whole new like level of self-experiment because I had a year and a half of incubation, literally like, I mean, it'll be in book two. There's just too much to explain. It's like a lot of just, you know, I really tried everything. And then after that, I was like, okay, I'm ready. And then it started going out. And then I got to try on this new element of like all these aspects of myself. I was more confident. I said no more. I had better boundaries. Like all of these things that I didn't know were growing and I don't know, like cultivating within me. And then now think of this, like you're all going to come out emerged from slumber, right? Emerged from this hibernation, different, ready, like more clear. Moving to New Zealand was a huge, was a huge thing too. Just going over there. Like that's, that stands out in my mind. Living by myself stands out in my mind. That was terrifying at first. Cause like big family, you know, always had a lot of people around. Having to make dinner by myself. It was really sad at first, like really dry chicken with mustard. Like that's it. I was like, I don't know. Do I microwave this? Don't know what to do.
Mom.
Yeah, exactly. The book too, writing my book, I think was a big one too. I mean, because there was a lot of inner nervousness around, I didn't want people to think I had it all figured out or like I was perfect or like I was telling people this is the one way to do it. The whole idea is the opposite of that, to say there is no one way to grow up. There is no one right path. And if anyone's telling you there is, it's bullshit.
Yes, yes. Love that. Yeah, it's so true. And I think, yeah, we're all just learning. No one has a clue. So do you have any kind of regrets of your 20s, like things you wish you'd have just fuck it and done or kind of not done or maybe seen differently or, you know, any experiences or whatnot?
Regrets would be definitely, you know, if I had were to tell younger Jessness, I would just be like, just chill. It's okay. Like, you're okay. And I gave so much of my agency away to friends and groups because I wanted to fit in and I wanted to be liked ultimately.
Yes.
And I wish I spent a little bit more time cultivating the relationships that matter most to me. And those are, you know, at the time it would have been like my immediate family, like my parents and my sisters, because, I don't know. You never know how much time you have, you know, that's the one thing that you can't get back. And it's really important to me that I'm spending time on the things that matter to me. Like, cause that's all we have. And so I'm just, maybe part of it would be keeping some of that agency closer to my heart, than giving it away so much to these people that I wanted just to be cool. I wanted to know that I was like accepted by people and stuff. And it's like, is still here. Mm-hmm. Like that's still in me, but it's less than, and it's not something that's leading in me. It's something that's quieter in the background. And I notice it every so often, like, and my partner helps me. It's something that, you know, in relationships now, it's like my relationship now is so much deeper. There's a foundation of that vulnerability, compassion, and trust that's that you have to have in order to be a human. Like, we're all gonna fuck up and get crazy and you know, have moments where we just need someone to just be like, I see you and I still love you for all of this, all of it, like, and come here, give me a hug. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I guess
it's great.
I guess just, I don't know, the relationships that are like, spend time on the ones that there's a two-way, something coming back in some way. You know, there's a reciprocal energy of effort and time that they're giving to you. And once I kind of sat down, I went, who's actually reaching out to me, driving halfway to me, doing all of these things? And when life really hits the fan, who keeps calling after the week of the tragedy is over? You know, it's like, oh, and how does it feel when those people are reaching out? And that's all been, again, with time and just having that continual check-in with myself. But for a really long, drawn-out answer, I guess that's what I'd say.
Yeah, I love that. I feel inspired from all this advice. Has there been any pieces of advice that you've received personally that have stuck with you?
Yes, there's one Well, there's two pieces. And one of them I was given in a work setting. This was from a coworker. She said to me, because I was a yes person, like recovering yes person still. Because I love the feeling of saying yes and that person being like, awesome. Like, I'm just like, I'm addicted to that little like, I'll do it. And they're like, great. And it's just like, can I record myself saying great and just listen to it so I don't say yeah? I don't know. You know, it's a process.
Me
but
too.
Like recovering yes person. And I forgot where I was going with this. She said to me, she noticed that I was saying yes to everything and really burning myself out. And so she goes, Jess, you need to spread your enthusiasm. Like spread it around. Don't, you know, like you don't need to, you know, like you don't need to, because I would overemphasize, I'd give like put all my eggs in one basket, but I'd be juggling like 10 baskets. She's like, you need to spread that enthusiasm. Because she knew, which I love, because she didn't tell me to calm down. She didn't take away my energy, which, or say like, you just need to like meditate. It's like, don't tell someone that's like high energy, like just slow down. It's like, oh no.
Yeah.
So she said, spread that enthusiasm. I really liked that. The other piece too was right after the breakup. And this was a woman that I met through a podcast episode that I was, a podcast I was producing at the time. And she goes, oh, she came to me and she's like, oh, I heard, I'm so sorry. She put her hands on both my shoulders and she just saw like, I was just distraught. And she just looked at me and she said, you know, this doesn't make much sense now, but it will, I promise you. Mm. And that was something that really helped me hold on to, because I was like, it wasn't like, it didn't feel like she diminished what I was going through or say like, oh, it probably wasn't meant to be. Hate that. Wasn't meant to be. It's like, it's like, okay, that's not helpful. That's not nice. So having her be able to say to me, like, this doesn't make sense now. And like acknowledge that like it's fucked up and you like, yeah, there's this uncertainty, unknown, like, huh? But it will later. And it has made sense. More and more, every single month that went on, it made more and more sense in almost direct parallel with me deepening that like inner journey I was on. And that was a year and a half. Just celibacy. Like I was probably celibate for like 2 years afterwards and just total dating myself.
Yeah. I need that. I need to do that at some point.
Yes, do it. You're cool. You'll probably find she's like, what I found was like, she's okay. I like her. Okay. Like I literally was getting to know myself. Mm. And like, oh, okay. And I think there is an element of like, you do have to get to a point where it's like, I like myself as a person. Like I appreciate these parts of my personality because they've helped me in these ways. Because there's even the things that annoy the hell out of ourselves, like annoy us about ourselves. They were there, that behavior or that experience or like the way that you handle that has served you in some way. And now as an adult, you get to pivot, change it, rewrite the syllabus, throw it out the window, light it on fire. Like you get to decide if you don't like it. And again, it's that alignment. It's knowing yourself and having those life experiences help you discover those pieces of yourself.
Yeah, I love that. I feel so inspired. Just before we wrap up, something I want to always ask my guests on this season is, what was your favorite age in your 20s and why?
Oh my gosh, that's so good. Oh my gosh. Probably the year I graduated. I was just feeling on top of the world. I loved it because like just the activities around like having all of my family there, having like the big, well, I think my parents, I swear, I think they were like professional, like party hosters, like the Hawaiian, like decor and, you know, just like fun stuff. The feeling of like, oh my gosh, I did it. Like, I fucking did it. That's so awesome. And now it's this, it's like the door is wide open and you get to take whatever path. And if you don't see one that's available, you get to build it. And if you're like, I want to combine those, just combine them. You know, it's just, you have like the world is, I know it's the world is your oyster, but it really is. Yeah. And you get to make it as big or as small or as fast or as slow as you want it. And there is no one way to do it. Like, period.
Yeah.
That sums it up nicely.
Yeah. There you go. No one has a clue. Let's celebrate that.
Like, no one's got an idea. Yeah, no one's got an idea. And if they look like they do, trust me, they don't.
Nah, nada. So yeah, just to finish off, what is next for you, Jess? Obviously, you've talked of a second book, which I will pre-order as soon as it's out. And have you got any other kind of, you know, projects on the go or fun things coming up?
So book two is, you know, I'm working on that right now. And part of it, I was joking with my partner. I said, part of writing this book is literally like living and just living, you know, like living, experiencing, going through the process. And I have a lot of notes and different things, but creating that outline will come next. And then after, so the book, Your 20s, the first book, is 3 years old now. And so there was a few people that asked for like a journal to go with it, just a blank journal. And so I created three of those, like one that's called Notebook, one that's called Journal, and one that's called My 20s Journal. So maybe we could give away a couple of those to your audience. They're brand new. They're super cute. But that's a new project. That's my latest offering right now.
Dreamy, you're an angel. Yeah, that sounds incredible. Amazing. Cool. Honestly, oh, Jess, thank you so much for taking time out of your tray busy schedule to chat today.
I loved it.
I feel so inspired and just settled by everything that you've said, and I'm sure everyone listening will as well. And yeah, I'm sure we'll chat soon about life.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. This was fun. This is a blast.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much for listening. If you've had a nice time, please do subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a topic that you want us to navigate together, just let me know. And why not binge all the other episodes? Give us a follow at Navigating Your 20s Podcast on Instagram and Facebook to stay up to date. And see you next time on Navigating Your 20s.